You're listening to Hockey Moms Uncensored, where the gloves come off and the truth comes out. Welcome back to Hockey Moms Uncensored. I'm your host, Morgan Moore, along with my co-host, Emily Johnson.
Hey, y'all.
Hey, so happy to be back here again to record our second episode. I'm not sure how many people listened to our first one, but if you are back again, thank you. We appreciate the support. I feel like we're getting the hang of this now as we've gone through the growing pains of figuring this shit out because it's not easy. And even just figuring out what to talk about because there's so many things in our head that we want to talk about.
Right.
But then just making sure that it comes across in a way that makes sense. So we're working on it, y'all. It's going to be good.
Just hang in there. Hang with us.
Hang with us as we continue on because we can only go up from here.
That's right.
We can only go up from here.
It's only going to get better.
So today's episode is...
What the Puck? How do I get my kids involved in youth hockey? I
love it. What the Puck. That's probably what we said whenever we first... Went to our very first...
With an F instead of a P.
Yes, with an F instead of a P, for sure.
Yeah.
So we know your first thought was, what the puck? But what was it like getting him started into hockey at the beginning?
So my husband started taking him to Huntsville Havoc games, which is just a little north of Birmingham for those who aren't from the area. We used to live up there, and he started taking him when he was like 2 years old, and that's where he fell in love with the sport. So I guess when he was five, we had moved to Birmingham. So we started looking into where he could play hockey. So we ended up starting, well, a little background. You have to start with skating before you can start hockey. It's not like soccer where you can just run out on the field with no experience. So we put him into skating lessons, and I believe there's four sessions that you have to complete. And we did a couple of sessions, and he enjoyed it, but decided he also wanted to try baseball, I think it was at that point. So we kind of took a break and stepped away, tried baseball. Boy, was that not our thing. And then I think he played football after that for a season. And then he was like, you know what? I really liked that hockey thing. Let's give that another try. So we jumped back in. They let us kind of put him back in where he left off, I believe. We didn't have to start completely over, if I remember correctly. So went through the skating lessons and then did Little Toros, which our minor league team is the Bulls. So we have the Little Toros.
Yes. So cute.
And that's where you learn to play hockey. You start wearing the gear, finally get your hands on a stick.
You don't actually use a stick until like session, really like your seventh session. Like you think about it, you got like four sessions of learn to skate and four sessions of learn to play.
You're like months into it at this point.
Months. And you don't even get to use a stick. Mm-hmm. I think for boys especially, that's probably very disappointing.
Yeah.
Because the only thing they want to do is get that stick out there and play hockey. A puck and play hockey. And sticks are not cheap. So that's another thing to think about is that's where you're going to save money. You don't have to buy
until you know for sure that they're in it.
And even like shin guards and like, cause you have like the shorts and you have the socks and you have the shin guards and the elbow pads and all that stuff. You don't technically have to have that for learn to skate.
Right.
Now, when you get into learn to play, I think it's probably encouraged, but I don't even think it's a requirement.
I'm trying to remember. I know we didn't, I don't think we had the shorts and stuff until we were on the team.
Okay, so I don't think it's a requirement.
Maybe we did. I don't know.
I know. It all runs together. Why did you never do hockey at a younger age? Because you lived in Huntsville and you had that rank there. Did you not think of doing that up there?
So we actually moved from Huntsville when he was 2.5. So he wasn't old enough to play yet.
Gotcha.
And we just kind of held off until he was a little bit older to start skating. He may have been... No, I think he was 5.
Okay. With Stealth, we didn't start till he was 6, so we were a little bit behind. But with my second child, he's 3, and we're actually going to start him with, here at our rink, it's called Snowplow Sam, and it's really just introductory. Like, if they're a little bit, I think if they're 2 years old, you have to have a parent, but if they're older, they go out there by themselves with an instructor, which I think is good. I think sometimes with kids, if mom and dad are there, they might act a fool as opposed to if it was just their coach. Mm-hmm. So he's super excited. I don't think he realizes that he's not going to be playing hockey. He might be fully dressed in hockey gear because we have all the stuff. But at least if he falls down, it won't hurt. But I definitely think that that'll be good for him to start at a younger age. Mm-hmm. And even as Stealth has played hockey, we've gotten him out on the ice for public skates. And I know our hockey team has had some family skates. He really likes to ride on the seal. So at first, he'd wanted just to be pushed around the rink, which I get. But now that he's getting a little bit older, we got him his own skates. It's really starting to click, and he's really starting to get into it. So I'm anxious to see what that's going to be like. It's going to be, we're starting on Saturday. I think that that's where it differs in the South versus places up North, because I've seen so many videos where there are kids at 18 months.
Right. I mean, as soon as barely they can walk. Yeah.
Especially if your parents were hockey players or skaters or whatever, they're taking their kids out super early.
Right.
So even us, even if you can start at 3, 4, if you don't know about it, or you move, or whatever the situation may be, you're still behind, technically, still behind.
Yeah.
Which kids are resilient, and our kids have caught up really quickly. Absolutely. So, I mean, I don't think it's been a bad thing, but it's just amazing to me, any of the videos I've seen of these little baby kids that are 1, 2 years old, like, balancing on skates.
Right. Well, we have, I think, most of the players on, like, our travel team started a little bit later, whereas we have, I know of one in particular that started when he was very young, and he's definitely the best skater on the team. And I think that that makes a huge difference, just having that skill of being like, you can skate as well as you can run.
Yeah.
Makes a huge difference in your ability to play hockey.
It looks like it's just second nature.
Right.
Doesn't look like he's trying. It's effortless. Yeah. So I think with my son, especially my oldest one, he's a little more clunky. Like, he's not as graceful as some of the other skaters. It's definitely a big improvement. And I know when we did learn to skate, you know, the very first time they get out there, I mean, they can't even hardly stand up.
Yeah,
I mean,
they're like little baby deer.
It's painful to watch.
Yeah.
And I don't know how in the hell he even wanted to go back. Because if it were me and that happened to me, I'd be like, I'm never doing that again. But for him to go back and keep sticking out the 8 weeks is super impressive. But to see from the very first week to the end, there is a big...
Oh, for sure.
Like, a lot of progress. It's amazing. It's amazing.
Okay, moms, hockey expenses might have you in a 5-year-old bra, but with Splendies, there's no reason for your panties to be old. Splendies sends you 3 new pairs of cute panties every month for just $16.99, and right now, you can get your first month for only $5. Go to splendies.com to subscribe today.
So let's talk a little bit about the program as a whole. Did you know whenever you first started that you had to be a member of USA Hockey?
Nope, I definitely did not. It's always fun to have an extra fee tacked on to things.
I was kind of an idiot because I filled out the forms for us to start Learn to Skate. Mm-hmm. And I get there and for the very first session, and I'm kind of nervous anyways. It's like, I don't know where to go and I don't know anything.
Yeah.
So I show up and... We like you get in line and you basically say, like, we're here. And he was like, well, what's your USA Hockey number? I was like, wow, what the fuck's that?
My what?
And he was like, yeah, you were supposed to register on USA Hockey. And I was like, okay. So I'm like over in the corner trying to like register for USA Hockey. And I know it was in the paperwork when we signed up, but I guess I missed that part. And I'm getting a little frustrated thinking, why the hell do I need to do this?
I think there's something to do with liability and insurance there. And I think USA Hockey assumes all the like you fill out all your concussion paperwork and stuff on there too, if I remember correctly. But don't quote me on that.
So it's important. So sign up for USA Hockey, get your registration number, and you'll be good to go. Now it's time for the fun stuff. You actually get to learn to skate. This is 4 sessions of 8 weeks. So it takes a long time to graduate from Learn to Skate. All you had to have was gloves, a helmet, and skates.
Right.
Obviously, you don't even have a stick yet. They're just basically, this is just intro to staying on your feet on the ice. And they do a lot of drills, and every week they kind of build upon the skills. In our program, they do it once a week. We looked up a couple other programs in other states just because we were curious. And they go multiple times a week.
Yeah, especially kind of north of here. I think the one in Huntsville was also once a week when we looked in like Michigan and Minnesota and places where they actually have ice outside sometimes, they had a lot more frequent classes.
Do you ever wish that our program was more than once a week?
I think from a scheduling standpoint, once a week is great when you have multiple kids and multiple things. But for skills, I think it would be so beneficial to have. I think the more ice time, the better.
Once a week is hard to get there on time and be committed to that, especially when we have a life and we have jobs and other kids. So it is a commitment. But like you said, doing it multiple times a week, that's just you're building those skills and that knowledge faster. Did Chip ever not pass a session? Because one thing with each learn to skate, and then as you get into learn to play, the second to last
class.
You have to, there's like an assessment. So were you ever worried, A, was he not going to pass, or did he ever not pass?
So he never didn't pass. He passed all of the sessions. I feel like as a parent, you always are kind of like a little nervous if your kid has an assessment or a test or something. But I was never super concerned. I feel like they did a really good job of teaching them every session and helping prepare them for whatever they were testing them on in that session. So it was never a real stressful situation. I know some of the younger kids were more likely to have to repeat a session just because developmentally they just weren't quite there yet. Yeah. Right. But yeah, it was never too stressful an event. He usually would look forward to the testing days.
That's kind of how Stealth was. Like, he never didn't pass. And, I think with my middle one, who's three, I'm going to have to prepare for us not to pass certain sessions and be okay with that. He's young. Like you said, he's just, sometimes it's just not all connecting up there. It's not, you know, all the light bulbs aren't firing at that point. So I think I'm going to have to be prepared for that. I think with Stealth being a little bit older, like you said, like just mentally and physically, he was able to grasp it faster. But I do remember there were some kids that were in his learn to skate that had to repeat. And I know as a parent, you think, man, I got to pay this again. Right. Like, now this is taking even longer. So that's a stressful thing to deal with. And I think I had a lot of issues with comparing too, which I didn't know the background. And Chip and Stealth weren't in the same exact class. Like, I think Chip was a class ahead of Stealth. So there wasn't that comparison. But, you know, I always remember when Stealth was in with other kids and they'd be doing really good, I'm like, why is he not doing that? Or how can we get him to be better? Because you always want your kid to be the best and be the best that they can be. And I didn't want him to fall behind. So like just that comparison of, you know, what can I be doing to encourage him, when in the back of my mind, I don't even know how to skate. Like, I don't know what the hell I'm even talking
about. That's true. It's a hard skill. I mean,
he was doing C cuts and I was calling them C cups. No joke. I was like, do your C cups. And my husband was like, they're C cuts. I was like, C cups? No, C cuts. That's true. So it's C cut.
Skate move, not a bra set.
Yes. It's not about titties. It's about your skates. So I think, you know, just it's funny coming from a mom who has no knowledge and over here like, you need a hockey stop and you need to do better C cuts and you need to be on your blades. And I'm like, and honestly, I didn't even know what that meant. I just heard other people saying it.
Yeah.
So I had no idea what that even meant. And even if I wanted to help him prepare for these assessments of like, do you know how to do these things? I wouldn't even know how to help him.
Me either.
So for those parents, again, that are in the South that have no idea, you are not alone. We didn't know either. Right. They're going to pass. The instructor's going to, like, get them to where they need to be. Mm-hmm. And if they have to retake it, that's okay.
Right.
It's just going to be extra time for them to hone in on those skills and get better. And, you know, it'll probably make them better in the long run.
Absolutely. But I would just say, too, you know, if your kid's to an age where they would qualify to play house league or travel or anything, you just want to make sure that you start them out far enough in advance for whatever season you're wanting them to play in. So if you're wanting to play, honestly, if you're wanting to play this season, I guess, you need to get on it like now.
You need to get on it.
Yeah.
We actually skipped a session. So we,
I remember that.
Yeah. Because the deadline to sign up for house hockey was, say, September, and he was in hockey 3, and we were not going to finish out because it's 8-week sessions, right? The way that the math and the dates were lining up, we weren't going to be able to play house.
Right.
And luckily at that time, Stealth had progressed pretty quickly mm-hmm. and was like doing really well. So we talked to the coach and they allowed him to kind of skip.
I think graduate.
And they, yeah, he went on and graduated to the next class. But he was a little bit behind and he had to play catch up a little bit because he missed like a whole 8 week session of stuff. Our rink, they want kids. They need the numbers.
Yes. Especially in-house.
In-house. They're trying to push them up mm-hmm. as fast as possible. Or not push them up, but they want kids to play house. So if they have to skip a few sessions or a few weeks, I think.
So be it. Whereas if you're in Michigan or Minnesota or something, you may not have that same look. Maybe you would. I don't know.
They might be more strict.
Yeah.
I will say that in each class, there was maybe, 10 or 12 kids.
Yeah, if that. I think it varied.
And some kids don't come back. I mean, you might start and then they don't follow through with all the sessions. So you really get, and there's like maybe one or two coaches like per age. The student to coach ratio is really good. It's really small.
Oh, yeah.
So they can give them that like extra special mm-hmm. attention. There's a lady that she's from Minnesota and her son started playing hockey up in Minnesota. And she said that there's so many kids up there in each like learn to skate.
Yeah.
That it's easy to maybe get lost in the sauce.
Absolutely. Don't get any individualized attention. Mm-mm.
No. So I think that's important. That's kind of a benefit that we have here is that there is such a smaller population of kids mm-hmm. that are doing it that we have more one-on-one instruction. Whenever I would watch the sessions, which you can't hear anything in there.
Right.
Like the rink,
it's so loud.
The acoustics are not great in mm-hmm. there. I remember watching Stealth a few times. Like the instructor would, you know, do a drill and be like, hey, this is what we're going to do. Like skate around mm-hmm. the cone. And I'm like, how does he remember how to do that? Like, how does he even know what he's supposed to be doing? And you can't hear what the coach is telling the kid. So, I mean, I guess it was just like monkey see, monkey do. And they would figure it out. But I remember going, how in the hell does he even know what to
do? I know.
Because I'd be like, can you do that again? Can you repeat that? I know there's adult learn to skate and adult learn to plays. And I think if I ever did that, I would be that annoying person that was like, can you do that one more time?
I'm sorry. What is it that you want me to do?
You want me to do what? Skate around this cone and then do what? I wasn't listening. That was another thing with Stealth at 6 years old is they have, you know, 5 or 6, 8 kids standing in a line. And then you'd see them like pushing each other and playing with each other and not paying attention. So that 6-year-old boy energy is, it's a challenge.
It is.
And those coaches did really well, like keeping them, you know.
Oh, yeah. I know what they're doing.
Engaged for sure. But there were times I'm like, pay attention. But you can't say anything to them because they can't hear you.
They can't hear you.
They cannot hear anything you're saying. So I remember I'd like bang on the glass and be like, pay attention. Well, do you need sign language or something to be able to speak to them so they can understand what you want them to do?
If you can get their attention, I feel like they can read.
Yeah,
they know
when
you're like,
give them that mom look.
Pay attention.
Pay attention to your coach.
Yeah.
I used to always like point to my ears like, listen. Yeah. And then he would look at me like, okay.
Hey, hockey moms. We know you're tired from those early morning practices and late night games. And unfortunately, not every hockey rink has an on-site Starbucks. Luckily, we have a solution for you. Bucked Up Energy. With drinks ranging from 100 to 333 milligrams of caffeine, Bucked Up is sure to give you all the energy you need to cheer on your favorite hockey player. Go to buckedup.com to order and use code Emily1027 to get 10% off today.
What do you think the pros are to our program?
I mean, I think one that you've already mentioned is that since we are a smaller program, they do get a lot more individualized attention than they would get at a huge program or even, you know, playing baseball and that sort of thing. I also think it's a pro that you're actually taking skills courses before you're thrown on a team, whereas baseball or even football or soccer, you're just placed on a team and it's like, go fly little birdie. I hope that you know what you're doing. I mean, of course you get coaching, but it's just nice to have that background and already have that foundation once you're put on a team.
So yeah, I think it's good that you have to learn certain skills in order to even play in the house league. And if you think about other sports, not only do you have to, I mean, like, so you think about football, like you run, you're on your feet, you're throwing a ball, you're catching a ball. With hockey, you're on skates, like you're on little bitty blades, on ice, you're trying to balance, you have all this equipment on. I mean, like, it's literally the hardest. I think it's like the hardest sport out there.
Oh, yeah.
It's aggressive, and kids can get hurt if you don't have that foundation. Mm-hmm. So some of the cons that I would say with our particular program is just the ice time. It's also really late at night, which hockey in general is a late night sport. So be prepared for that. It's like an early morning sport or a late night sport. One of our friends, when they played lacrosse, they would go straight from lacrosse to hockey because they had lacrosse practice.
We did that too.
And yes. So you've been there. So the fact that you could play two sports and have enough time to go from one practice to the next. I mean, I think Little Toros was at like 7:15.
Something like that. So, we were there like past bedtime.
So be prepared for those late nights because that's, I mean, and I guess that's because that's the only time that they can schedule the ice.
Ice time, yeah.
So.
And at tournaments, I mean, not so much at our age group, but the older kids will be playing 10 o'clock at night and then up at like 5, 6 in the morning to play games.
Yeah. I think the little kids, we always get the early times right now.
Yeah.
We always get the really early times.
Yeah, like 7:30 game for the game. Like that's start time for the game.
Yeah. And you got to be there an hour early.
Yeah.
Another con, having coaches that never played house hockey. You know, they might play like in the beer league now, but just not having that long standing knowledge.
They didn't play it their whole lives.
Yes.
I mean, there are a few around there that have, I guess. Yeah. But by and large, those are hard to come by in Birmingham, Alabama.
For sure. We've had some, like a lot of people move in. Like I know our coach is from California.
Yeah.
And like, how did you end up here? So, I mean, there is some transplants that have come here. And like you said, they've been lifelong hockey players. And I think they are really trying to keep the program going and thriving. And that's one thing that I was thinking about the other day is that with a program like hockey, it's up to us to make sure that it is successful.
Right.
And that's a daunting task, knowing like it lays on your shoulders to make sure that this is a thriving program.
Yeah.
Where other sports, there's like lots of people that are willing to step up.
Right.
And, you know, everybody's dad's the coach in baseball and soccer. And here, that's just not something that's the case all the time.
Right.
So I think it's really important for us to take that responsibility to make this as good as it possibly can be. And that's hard when you don't have that background knowledge.
Right. It is. When you just started watching hockey yourself.
Yeah.
5 years ago.
And we've called it the court before.
Yeah. Or the field.
Or the field. So we're not perfect. And I think that's okay.
Absolutely.
We all are learning together. Mm-hmm. And that's what makes us real people and real situations. And, you know, it makes it fun. Like when you actually figure it out, like that's a big accomplishment that you can really be proud of. So I think as we continue to keep our boys into this program and see like the younger kids come up, I mean, I can only imagine how much easier it's going to be for like my 3-year-old and then even my daughter, if they want to stay in hockey. I mean, it's going to be a lot. It's going to be more seamless as opposed to your older. I feel like your older one, which I know Chip's not your oldest, but the first one, it's like a trial run.
It is.
You're just figuring it out.
I saw something the other day that said kids are like pancakes. The first one's bound to be a little messed up.
I love it. I love it. Which really, since you have a boy and a girl, you kind of had to do
it
both.
It is kind of like figuring out two totally different things.
Yeah. Because you had to figure out your daughter.
Have lots of reasons for therapy.
Yeah, that's right. Good or bad. I know. We're going to screw them up one way or the other. But yes, like you had your daughter and like the things that you had to do with her are not going to translate to Chip.
And she is the girliest of girly girls.
Yeah.
And he's all boy. So their interests are so vastly different.
Yeah. So even though he was your second child, you still were starting from the beginning.
Yeah.
So all the mistakes were made because you didn't know any better.
Right.
The biggest advice I would give is just do your research. If you have a website, if you know where your rink is, ask questions, you know, call the rink, like, and really try to figure out their program. I think USA Hockey does a really good job of setting these parameters of like you have to pass these things in order to play. So I think that's a really big benefit. And that's going to be, you know, nationwide. Everyone's going to have that baseline program that you have to pass and be able to complete before you can move on to actually playing hockey. Mm-hmm. I know this is a little off topic, but how did you figure out how to put all that shit on?
It was probably comical. Someone should have probably recorded the first few times. I stumbled through it. I'm sure you could YouTube it.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll do a video someday of how to put your kids' hockey gear on.
That's a great idea.
Something y'all can look forward to in the future.
I like that idea.
But it was definitely a learning curve. And I'm sure someone would have helped if I'd asked. Yeah. But I'm stubborn and I like to figure shit out myself.
Me too.
So I just stumbled through it.
That's
I'm pretty sure it was me the first time and not my husband. So
You just have to figure it out.
Yeah.
I think my husband was the one that did it at first, which I have an excuse because I did have a younger kid and I was pregnant with the third one. So I did have an excuse, but since then I've had to figure it out. Yeah. And now that the boys have put the gear on so many times, they can guide you. Like, mom, this is first or this is next. So they can help you. But yeah, I remember when I probably was like looking at other people going, okay, what are they putting on next? Yeah, what's the next thing we're putting on? Or, oh.
And there were definitely times when we would like get something on and be like, oh shit, we got to take that back off because I'm not going to be able to put your shin guards on over your skates or whatever.
Yes. And then you're like rushing, you're trying to get it on, and then like you're sweating. You're like, oh my gosh, like I'm never going to get your little ass out there.
And you're at least a timely person. I'm always late already. So we're just like, but I've gotten pretty speedy now. I've had people comment on my speed.
That's good. You've adapted and overcome.
Yes.
You're like, if I'm gonna cut it close to the time I'm there,
better be a pro.
I better be fast putting this crap on. I love it. Yeah, I think that's important to know is that there are a lot of people that are gonna help you in figuring out how to, like, again, this is a community. So if you have a question, just ask.
Yeah.
Like, it's not a dumb question, especially moms, because I feel like they expect us to not know what we're doing. So
And I feel like, too, by and large, and it may differ from rink to rink, but I feel like the hockey community is a very, like, open community for the most part and welcoming, and the parents are usually really chill and great people to be around, whereas I feel like some other sports, it's not always the case.
Yeah, it's a little more, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, hockey's like the only sport where you can like crack a beer.
Heck yeah.
Or they're going to sell beer.
For sure.
At the tournament.
And you can double fist and no one will judge
nobody
you.
Nobody cares.
Yes. Agreed. And you can like scream and yell at your kids and probably say unfavorable things. And you just don't get mad.
Yeah.
It's just part of the game.
So if you're easily offended,
probably not for you.
Hockey's probably not for you.
Probably not for you.
And this podcast might not be either.
Probably not for you.
But if you're chill and just like to have a good time and love a good kind of violent sport.
This is for you. Come on. Yeah. Join the club. I do think that if Stealth had not followed through, I think I would have been sad because I was committed from the beginning.
Yeah.
And I think if he had said, I don't really like this, I would have been really sad. So I'm glad that he stuck with it and followed through. And again, we'll talk about like house and travel. There's so many other things. Like, this is just scratching the surface of what there is to talk about. And also, like, whoever is listening to this podcast, if you ever have questions, like, please reach out to us and we can always answer your questions, because there's probably stuff that we miss because Emily and I like to just talk and bullshit. So
just chatting.
So if you do feel like we missed something, which we probably did, just ask.
Yeah. Or if you have any suggestions for future episodes, leave us a comment and we'll see what we can do. Join us next week for our next episode titled $300 Stick, 5-Year-Old Bra, where we talk about all the money that you're about to spend getting your child involved in youth hockey. Bye, y'all.